Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome back to the Rodcast. It is a 5-1-2 Friday. Actually, it's a freak flag, feel good, fake it till you make it. Football. Oh, don't forget the Ric Flair. Woo! 5-1-2 Friday edition of the Rodcast featuring my man Patrick Davis, who's the Idealionaire. My co-host always comes up with the musically themed days of the week. And 5-1-2 Friday is when he plays jams from local bands and artists, very talented human beings that you have a chance to catch live right here in the ATX. Who are we jamming right now, Patrick?
This is Barfield. Barfield the Tyrant. He does a little funky music over there at Seaboard. Boys on Saturday nights.
Love that. The Tyrant?
Barfield the Tyrant.
That's a great name. That's a great name, man. I'm always intrigued by just musicians and bands' names. I don't know. It's a little weird quirk of mine, but I like that one. The Tyrant. All right. My man Patrick always hooking us up. Big fat poll of the day. We haven't hit it because we've been heavy into the NFL draft, but it's draft related. Let the folks know what the topic is for the big fat poll of the day, Patrick.
Big fat poll of the day. Who is the biggest steal of the first round? The two easiest ones would be your defensive backs. Quinnen Mitchell went number 22 to the Eagles. Terry Arnold, 24 to the Lions. You'd say Byron Murphy slipping all the way to 16 as his second defensive player taken off the board. Byron Murphy's there. Dallas Turner, a lot of people had him as their highest ranked. I know Rod did not, but a lot of people did have Dallas Turner. He went 17 to the Vikings. I've seen some people saying Brock Bowers.
Did they trade for him?
Traded up for him. Yeah. But they, a lot of people are saying Brock Bowers as well to the Jets, which I like, or to the Raiders. The problem with Brock Bowers to the Raiders, the one problem I had with it is the Raiders picked Michael Mayer last season. Matthew Mayer?
Michael Mayer. I forgot about that.
But they picked him in the second round, like early in the second round. So they picked their future tight end last year, and now they have picked a future tight end again. You can play two tight ends, but to have two tight ends taking that early, and that's after you basically got rid of Darren Waller. I think Brock Bowers is going to be really good. Okay. I think him going to 13 is a steal. The only reason I didn't list it in mine. So if you think that's it, then we'll put him on the poll online because I saw some of y'all put it on there. And that's what we ask you in the text lines. We dictate that's what we put on the poll. But Brock Bowers is up there. I just didn't because of the deal that they drafted a tight end so early last year that he was they drafted the first tight end taken last season. And they took the first tight end this season.
That is weird. I'm not going to lie. That is strange.
Tight ends are not a position you normally do that with.
No, because it's not a premium position, and usually you don't have that many high-level tight ends to be drafted them in the first round and back-to-back yesterday.
It was second round last year, but he was the first tight end off the board.
First tight end off the board, yeah. That is interesting. I didn't think about that. But actually, I like both of those guys. So, honestly, I didn't realize that, but that's a nice 12 personnel package you got there with the Raiders. One back, two tight ends.
Devontae Adams package on the outside?
Pretty formidable, yeah. And that's a pretty nice dupe there with Antonio Pierce. That's the big fat poll today. We'll get to the horn headlines here. Then we'll talk about Xavier Worthy landing with the Chiefs. We'll talk about Byron Murphy landing with the Seattle Seahawks. We'll get into both of those and talk about some of the draft picks, the Longhorns we expect to be drafted, I should say, coming up this weekend. But first, let's get educated, let's get informed and updated with the horn headlines with my man Patrick Davis.
Hi, your Hornet Line is brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Texas softball got the win over Nichols yesterday, riding a 7-run first inning to a 10-3 victory. Reese Atwood failed to get an RBI in the game, so she will look to set the single season RBI record for Texas this weekend against Iowa State, with games starting tonight. Texas baseball will travel to Norman this weekend to face the number 18 Oklahoma Sooners. Texas is currently 3 games behind the Big 12 leading Sooners in the conference standings. Will look to make up that ground and avenge a sweep in Austin last season. In the NFL draft, a record 23 offensive players were drafted in the first round, including 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks. The first defensive player was not selected until pick 15. Texas into the first round with 2 players drafted, with Byron Murphy going 16th overall to the Seattle Seahawks and Xavier Worthy going 28th overall to Kansas City Chiefs. The Cowboys were able to trade back to pick 29th, where they selected Oklahoma offensive tackle Tyler Guyton. The biggest shocker of the first round came when the Atlanta Falcons selecting Michael Penix with the 8th pick after signing Kirk Cousins to a 4-year, $180 million contract this offseason. Rounds 2 and 3 will be tonight, starting at 6 p.m. In the NBA, the Orlando Magic picked up their first win of the series, dominating the Cavs 121-83, while the 76ers were able to get a win over the Knicks behind Joel Embiid's 50-point outing. And the Nuggets all but sealed the series against the Lakers, winning Game 3 112-105 to take a commanding 3-0 series lead. Tonight, the Bucks will take on the Pacers, with Giannis once again a game-time decision. The Mavs will look to hold home court against the Clippers, and the Suns will try to stave off the Timberwolves, taking a 3-0 series lead. In Major League Baseball, the Astros could not get the hits to capitalize on a Verlander start and lost to the Cubs 3-1, and the Rangers were topped by the Mariners 4-3, who, with the win, took over the lead of the AL West. Rangers begin their series with the Reds tonight, with pregame beginning 6:30 right here on the Horn, and that is your Horn Headlines.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. Come get 0% interest for 48 months on new steel zero-turn mowers and lawn equipment this month at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, thank you, Patrick, for the Horn Headlines. We appreciate that. Let's talk about it, the Longhorns who were drafted. We'll start with Xavier Worthy, because I think that one is the most compelling pick, because you ended up, if you're Xavier Worthy, you end up playing with the best quarterback in the league, the best offensive mind, and best play caller in the league now with Andy Reid, and a team that's coming off a Super Bowl trying to three-peat, something that's never been done in NFL history, and you get to be the potential number one wide receiver weapon there, because they had one of the worst, if not the worst, wide receiving room in all the NFL. And the cherry on top is, whenever, which I think is going to be pretty soon, next couple of years, Travis Kelce decides to hang his cleats up and retire, there's a good chance that the passing game of the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes could be like built around you or run through you.
Wow. I mean, if you continue to progress and you become what they think you can become, then yes, 100% it can be built around
you.
And I mean, you throw in all of those pieces, and Rashee Rice most likely being suspended for this beginning of next season. That the one wide receiver that kind of showed up for you last season is going to be dealing with a suspension. That as more details come out about that, the longer the suspension seems like it's going to be. Yeah. So we have that. Then you signed Marquise Brown, but that is a 1-year deal. So that is something where, you know, I don't know if they knew Xavier Worthy would be available to them at this pick and they could get him. But I think you're going to try and find out how much he can go. Xavier Worthy, too, feels like a guy who can come in day one and at least go out there and start to make some plays.
Oh, I think day one, I think he's going to start for him, and I think he's going to be an instant impact guy. He went to the perfect system. You need to go to a progressive offensive coach who would – because – this is the reason I predicted a team would trade for him, because he's an outlier.
Yeah.
He is one of the slimmest, one of the smallest, kind of frailest, if that is a word, wide receivers to be drafted in the first round in NFL history. I'll give you these numbers about Xavier Worthy. If you go look at it, he is an outlier for two reasons. His BMI, number one, his body mass index. You're talking about a guy that weighed in, 166 pounds. So you go look at his body mass index. He's at around 22.7, which is really, really light. If you go look at the lightest receivers in the combine history, at least since 2000, he's the 9th lightest of any receiver at the combine since 2000. And if you go look at the top 50 of those receivers who are the lightest guys, Only one is a 1,000-yard receiver among that group, and that was DeSean Jackson. Now, keep in mind, DeVonta Smith, he's actually in that frame, too, has that kind of frame and frail physique. But he didn't perform at the combine. He performed at the pro day. So you can throw two of those guys in there, but those are your outliers. So your hope is that, and I believe the Chiefs, they believe he's going to be a DeSean Jackson type, a DeVonta Smith type, those guys who are slight and they have that really small-ish frail frame, and they can their play still translates to a physical style in the NFL. And also his speed is not working against him. He's the fastest human being in the history of the combine. But if you go look at the fastest wide receivers in combine history, take, you know, the top 25 fastest guys in combine history, there's only 1,000-yard receiver among that group, and that's Santana Moss. I'm talking about at the combine, based on that combine time. He's the only one.
Yeah.
So he's an outlier for a lot of reasons. Speed doesn't always translate. I always said at the wide receiver position, you know, being fast is like, you know, being well endowed. Just because you're well endowed doesn't make you a great lover. There's a lot of things that, you know, that will translate, a lot of skills that can translate to being a great lover. Same thing with being a good receiver. Your route running, your acceleration, your deceleration, your hands, your ability to high point footballs, a lot of that makes you a great receiver. But people just assume speed, he's going to be a great receiver. But for Xavier Worthy, he is a great football player who happens to have world-class speed, not, in my opinion, a world-class speedster who also plays football, which has been the case for a lot of those guys. He is a football player that happens to be the fastest human being in combine history. And I don't think it's coincidence, Patrick, that they have now X-Man who ran a 4.2 flat at the combine, and they also have Hollywood Brown around a 4.27, and very similar in their frames. Hollywood Brown may be a little bit thicker than Xavier Worthy, but now you have real speed on the outside. That what's happened to the passing attack of the Kansas City Chiefs is so intriguing, even though they're still winning Super Bowls, so it doesn't really matter. But they used to be the most lethal vertical passing attack in the NFL when they first had Tyreek Hill, and even after Tyreek Hill. In 2019, Patrick Mahomes had 15 touchdowns on passes 20 yards or more down the field, 3 interceptions, and he was first in the NFL in deep passing yards with over 1,300. Same thing was true in 2021. He was 5th in deep passing yards in 2021, but his passer rating was a 113.1 passer rating, 9 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I mean, they went deep down the field early and often. But listen to these stats and what's changed. Over the last 5 seasons, the average length of a Mahomes touchdown pass has decreased from 2019 to 17.3. I mean, his average touchdown pass, the length of it, was 17 yards. I mean, you're talking about chunking it deep. And then in 2020, it dropped to 13. In 2021, it dropped to 8.5. In 2022, 4.5. In 2023, it was 3.9. That was the length of the Mahomes' average touchdown pass, was 3.9 yards. In the last 2 years, guys, Mahomes has a total of 2 touchdown passes that have traveled 20-plus yards through the air. Just 2 of them. And he has to cast more interceptions on 20-plus yard passes than he has touchdown passes of 20 yards or more. This is the best quarterback in the league. If you look at offensive touchdowns on plays of 10-plus yards, Kansas City has 7 last season. That's good for 31st in the league. Guys, the Jets had 8, so they were 30th. And the Carolina Panthers were last in the NFL in touchdowns on 10-plus yard plays with 6. They were 32nd. The Kansas City Chiefs' total distance combined on all of their touchdown passes in 2023, I'm not making this up, 101 yards. That's good for 30th in the NFL, ahead of the Carolina Panthers and the Jets. The best quarterback in the league in the same area statistically as the worst quarterbacks in the league. Kansas City now, I think, wants to bring back the verticality in their offense. Let Kelce work that underneath with more space. And that's going to be dangerous, because that's picking your poison right there between Kelce or defending the deep ball.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's what you want to bring back. And it's, you know, Xavier Worthy, where you're able to get him. And, of course, it's the trade up. You decide that's the guy that you really want to go after. But I think we've seen them over the last couple of years try to add that in, and, you know, you get a Kadarius Toney. Why they go take a shot on him? and he would get downfield and couldn't catch the ball. And they've brought in guys that can get open and get downfield, but they can't go ahead and catch the ball. I think when you bring in, you know, Marquise Brown and Xavier Worthy, you're willing to take that shot that one of those guys is going to be able to catch the ball, and whoever goes out there, and I'm sure Patrick Mahomes is going to get with both of them here in the next few weeks and start throwing and start to try and get that rhythm and start to try and figure it out and just start to get a feel for it, because you know he cannot wait to get a wide receiver that he can get downfield and start making those plays. Because, I mean, you know, he'd love to go back and sit on the bench sometimes and not have to make a, you know, 28-play drive where he's scrambling and has to do sack avoidance over and over again and throw the ball, you know, 4 more yards to Travis Kelce and then, all right, 6 more yards. And then, you know,
that's what they turned into.
If you just get into, okay, now he can throw it over the top, and now it opens up inside in those Travis Kelce catches for the next couple of years when he's still there. That Travis Kelce catches now open up to where he can be a weapon with the football, as opposed to every time he catches it, there's always someone right around him because they have 3 or 4 guys on him because he's the threat. Once you make other threats, and I mean, Pacheco will pay off for this as well.
Agreed.
Because once you have to pull those safeties back and you have to actually start to respect that offense and the downfield threat, Pacheco, who's been playing well with no real deep passing game, well, that should open up for him as well. It's scary how much better it can make it if Xavier Worthy can play at that level.
Yeah, it is scary. I'm a Texans fan, and I got to tell you, I don't like it. As a Longhorn fan, I love it, but as a Texans fan, I don't like it. I will say, ironically, Xavier Worthy had one of the highest off-target rates of any receiver in this class. It was actually at 22.4% in terms of his off-target rate. And on deep passes specifically, if you go look at it, his 9.2 career yards per target average on deep passes ranks worst of any projected non-undrafted free agent Power 5 wide receiver in this class. So basically the fastest wide receiver of all time is not an effective deep threat. A lot of people believe, and I'm sure Brett Veach does now too, that is on Quinn Ewers more so than it is on Xavier Worthy, and they probably went back and watched the film. So if the Kansas City Chiefs are willing to draft him and say, no, he's going to be a deep threat for us, that's probably when they watched the film, they thought a lot of the misses on deep throws were more attributed to the QB, which I agree with, more so than the wide receiver. So
and also looking at that, you know, sophomore season and saying, where do we look at him when his hand was healthy and where do we look at him when his hand was hurt? And let's not value his drops the same way, because if we just look at the statistics, he had a lot more drops in that period. Let me just watch the Oklahoma State game and then say, seriously, okay, we can throw some of these stats out. If you just watch that game, why are they still throwing it to him? What is happening?
Yeah, keep throwing it to him. And turns out Quinn had a messed up hand too. Remember? Quinn had a messed up hand throwing to a dude with a messed up hand. It's like, stop this madness.
Gale force winds.
It's like, come on. That is Coach Steve. That's when I believe that was, if I'm not mistaken, that was one of my first times bringing up Coach Steven. One of them. It's like, no, this is Coach Steven, man. That's not Coach Sark. I love Coach Sark. Coach Sark is smarter than that. That was Coach Steven out there. I know the difference. Also keep this in mind. Good juju, because the Chiefs, it's something about Longhorn football players and them becoming Kansas City Chiefs that makes them excel, or at least it adds to their greatness. Derrick Johnson, all-time leading tackler with the Chiefs. Jamal Charles, all-time leading rusher with the Chiefs. And Priest Holmes, all-time most rushing touchdowns with the Chiefs. Shout out to my man, Anthony Geronimo, for I got those stats from him via Twitter. But, yeah, not Xavier Worthy. Where's he going to be? Can you get an all-time leading receiver with the Chiefs? Nah, he probably won't break Travis Kelce's record anytime soon. But still, I'm assuming Travis Kelce has those records. But, hell, it could be Tony Gonzalez could have some of those records. I mean, they got some bottles in Chiefs history.
Yeah.
You think about that.
No, that'll be interesting. Yeah, I'm sure he'll have some record of – he's got to beat Tyreek Hills. He's got to play long enough to just knock out Tyreek Hills, like deep passes and those threats. Ooh. Once he passes Tyreek Hill, though, then he's in pretty good company.
He is in pretty good company. Okay, real quick, Byron Murphy going to the Seattle Seahawks. I thought this was also a perfect location. It's a perfect landing spot for Byron Murphy. First of all, Mike McDonald, he's the new head coach there, and he is a defensive guru at the college level from what he did in Michigan, even at the NFL level from his time at Baltimore. And if he is choosing basically Byron Murphy to be his, you know, linchpin that he builds this defense around, then that is a really good sign for Byron Murphy. And it makes sense. You're in that division. You're going up against the Shanahan offense every year. You're going against Sean McVay's offense twice a year. You want to make sure that your defense is stout, and he's a defensive guy, and he's going to start building and constructing his defense, his vision of it, around Byron Murphy. That's a hell of a career arc for Byron Murphy, who started out as a three-star guy in most recruiting services and worked himself into being not only a first-round draft pick, but a guy who's a freak at the NFL Combine. So for a guy who, think about it, if you're a three-star, that means you don't have a ton of upside, a huge upside. You wouldn't even consider a blue-chip guy. And yet when he gets to Texas, he works, he grinds, becomes a weight room fanatic, and turns himself into being one of the freakiest athletes in college football, and then one of the obviously a first-round pick, one of the most impactful and high-level players in college football. And that's a testimony to how his work ethic and how good it is.
Yeah. No, I mean, the moves he's picked up, his progression, and if you're an NFL team, you have to look at Byron Murphy and think, we're scratching the surface still. You know, he has continued to progress. There's no reason to believe we have reached the top now. He can keep growing and growing. And if you can turn him into one of those, you know, key pieces of a defense that comes in, that there's not that many guys that can do it in the league. And if you get one of those pieces, it's a great piece to build around on your defense.
Yeah, there's no question about that. All right, we'll get to the break here. Behind the Burn Orange Curtain next segment and talking some ball. I'm actually going to leave prematurely. I got some things that I got to do. So my man Patrick and I believe my man Ty is here. Going to sit in too. Good to see Ty. Good to hear from Ty on the airways coming back. So don't go anywhere. I'm sure they're talking a lot of NFL draft. They'll be talking, of course, some Longhorn football as well. And we'll come back and cover all the bases for you right here on the Rodcast featuring Patrick Davis on Lifetime Longhorn. Rod Babers coming back on the horn.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And they were all asking themselves the same question. What is behind that curtain?
Back on the Rodcast here on a Friday morning, talking draft all day long here on the Rodcast. We just talked a little bit about the Longhorns who have already been drafted. We're going to get into some conversation about the Longhorns who have yet to be drafted, especially A.D. Mitchell. I think that conversation should be had of somebody that we were hoping was going to be a first-round pick, doesn't end up becoming a first round pick, but there's hope that he's going to be the first pick taken in the second round. But we'll get into that. Do want to bring on my man Ty Henderson back joining the Rodcast. Rod had to step out a little bit early tonight to tell how much sleep I got last night after that. This morning he had to step out a little bit early, so Ty is going to be joining me for the rest of the show. Ty, appreciate you jumping in with us.
It's good to be back on the airwaves.
Yeah. Get you back on. Let me get your first opinions first of the two picks that did come in the first round. Byron Murphy going at 16, Xavier Worthy going at 28. What are your takeaways? Are those both picks that you enjoy? Or you think that they're going to end up doing well there?
I think both those guys went exactly where most people expected them to. For Byron Murphy in Seattle, they've had issues on their interior offensive line or defensive line and their defense in general for the past three or four seasons. So I think he will be a huge help in the middle for them. And then Xavier Worthy, I think it's just a match made in heaven with Patrick Mahomes. That's the closest thing that we've seen into the league to Tyreek Hill. and year. So it's I'm really happy for both of them. I think it's going to work out really well.
I do too. I think they're both going to be good matchups. But let's go into the players not taken yet, the players that will be taken over the next 2 days. And we'll start off with the guy who was projected to go in the first round by most mock drafts. A lot of people had him going ahead of Xavier Worthy until the later mock drafts. Xavier Worthy kind of jumped ahead of him there at the end in the mock drafts. People started to say, you know, there was reports of Xavier Worthy going all the way up to 15 with the Colts. I don't think that was going to happen once there was no defensive players taken at pick 15. I think the Colts realized it might be a bit of a reach now to take Xavier Worthy and keep the picks going. We could take the number one, like any defender we want, we can take right now at 15, and then with Latu at that pick. But then we assumed that Eddie Mitchell was going to go to the Bills. That was where we've seen him mocked a ton. He kind of fits into that mold. It's a guy that you feel can do well for you in red zone, can work well with the Josh Allen. That was what a lot of us predicting. They trade completely out of the first round, so there's still hope that he goes first pick of the second round, because that is where the Bills now sit, that they feel they can get him. But this is a weird pick for that A.D. Mitchell. I know there's a lot of reports before the draft. There were some that, you know, every Longhorn player was saying was not true. There was reports that that Rod and I could not substantiate, and we never heard that he had issues with blood sugar and that he was uncoachable before lunch and all this other stuff, was that he had attitude problems at points. Those are all the reports. And the question is now, did those reports get around enough, and did enough people believe that A.D. Mitchell maybe wasn't the guy, or is it that people did not want to draft him to be a number two, feeling he wasn't going to put in the effort, because we saw on tape that there was a lot of times, and he did better at the end of the season, that he wouldn't necessarily go all out on plays that were not going his direction. If the play's going to the right side and he's on the left, he's going to kind of take that play off a little bit. He'd run the beginning of the route and then give up on it, which you don't want to see when you're trying to pull safeties and when you're trying to do everything, especially at NFL level. If you're talking about teams with mobile quarterbacks, you have to keep moving because you have to be able to try and get yourself open. Do you think it was more a situation of that, or the flip of that, which is more what I believe, is that A.D. Mitchell's really, really good, but I don't know if he's the dynamic type of player like an Xavier Legette, where you say this guy could be really, really next level. We think that he could be this special talent that we could put into a role and he could do that. Or Ricky Pearsall, where you think we can put him into a role and he will fit that role perfectly. A.D. Mitchell does what he does, but I don't know if he's going to fit into that role as well as he's just going to go out there and play football at a really high level.
I mean, some of these guys, we saw it all year with A.D. Mitchell and run plays. Like you said, the effort sometimes is questionable. But in my, from what I saw last year playing for the University of Texas, I liked A.D. Mitchell to go over Xavier Worthy.
I know. And that's, and especially red zone. And when you talk about, you know, how important touchdowns are and be able to get open in those, his size, everything about him, it would make you believe that he's the guy that should go ahead of it. I just feel that in the draft, and we saw this with, you know, and we'll get into this in the 9 o'clock. Because Rod and I have already yelled enough about it, but I'll yell about it with you too, about Michael Penix Jr. and six quarterbacks going in the first 12 picks, that people are willing to take a shot on somebody they feel can be a game changer. And I don't know if anybody felt A.D. Mitchell was a game changer. They feel he's a wide receiver. Like, I think they feel he's Stephon Diggs, and like that, where you go, Stephon Diggs is really good, but he's been traded twice in his career. Or a Brandon Cooks, who's really good, but he's been traded 3-4 times in his career. Those guys, I think they feel A.D. Mitchell is more of that, which it's silly to still not draft that in the first round, but all these general managers are so focused on, I have to get the guy who has a superhero power instead of this guy who's just really, really good at football.
Well, that's part of the reason why I think the hit rate on receivers in the first round is so low.
Yeah.
It's because they look at the combine and those, you know, physical numbers, physical traits more than other positions. You know, we see the best receiver in the league right now, Justin Jefferson. He was a first round pick, but Davante Adams, who else?
Cooper Kupp,
Puka Nacua last year. There's a ton of talent at that position later in the draft. So I like what the Bills did. They can still get their guy. I mean, he's been mocked to the Bills for months now. I don't think it's a surefire thing that he goes first pick in the second round, but I
could see the Bills trading back again. I mean, it wouldn't. I don't think it's out of the question that that first pick.
My point is, there's a lot of guys, and I think that at this point in the draft, it's a coin flip.
It is, and I think he's now by far the best wide receiver available. I know Ladd McConkey is up in that conversation. Some people like Ladd McConkey.
Nobody named Ladd needs to be drafted ahead of it. Mitchell.
But my point is, Ladd McConkey, I feel, is in the same boat as A.D. Mitchell of, well, he's not an athletic freak. He's not a...
But A.D. Mitchell, what did he run in the 40? He ran
like a
4-3.
No, but I'm just saying
like,
freak.
Okay.
He's an amazing athlete. He could beat any one of us. I'm not... But if you say, well, he was the, you know, he runs a high 40, but he's not a 4-2 guy. Fair. And that's what you say, an athletic freak. And some of these other guys that were going ahead of him were fit roles where they just do things differently. And A.D. Mitchell is just all around a really great player. I think that's kind of what Ladd McConkey is, too. I think I take A.D. Mitchell ahead of him. So I think he's still the – I have him as my number one wide receiver. I know people like Keon Coleman a lot, too, but I still think he's the number one wide receiver. But if the Buffalo Bills get a call – and I don't know if they were talking to teams and they wanted to push. I'm still really curious if – when Kansas City traded up.
Who else was looking at Xavier Worthy?
If that was because the Jaguars were looking up because they wanted to get Xavier Legette, and they just said, someone called about Xavier, do you want to make a trade? I really want to know if that's the truth, because it's the best if it was. But they did trade. They traded away two picks, both for Xaviers, both wide receiver Xaviers. The Bills traded twice.
It's a weird
trivia.
If you can still get your guy, they obviously have a guy in mind. I think that was a great move.
I think it was good. I think they moved back. You know, and if you do have any issues about or worries about his attitude or any of that, if you have any of those worries still around, you get him as a second round pick. Now there's less guaranteed money. There's less. You know, you have an ability to break off sooner than if he was your first round pick. But they need a wide receiver so bad in Buffalo. I still think he's going to Buffalo, but.
One thing that I don't understand why you allow the one team that's been in your way the past 5 years in the Kansas City Chiefs go get the guy that everybody around the league knew that that's the guy they were going for, and they allowed them to trade up. And
I get that. I feel like Buffalo knows that their window's closed.
So what are they going to do?
I don't know. I feel like they're on a different time scale than everybody.
Accumulating
they don't
picks?
Have a wide receiver. Like, and I get, I don't either, but they're not like, they're just, they had to let so many people go. I feel like they may be doing a hard reset. I think their coach is going to be gone after the season as well. And then you kind of start over with Josh Allen and try not to a full reset, but the quicker reset, and you get more draft picks allows you to do a much quicker reset. But they had to let so many guys go. They need to fill out that roster so much. They just need all the draft capital they can get. And if the Chiefs are going to give it to you, you make that deal. I don't know if they think they're in that conversation now with the Bengals, with the Ravens, with the Texans, that we are then now the number two team still where we've been the last few years. I don't know if they feel that with – I mean, they traded Diggs. I think when you trade Diggs, that's you saying we're not
Gabe Davis, you can't keep a wide receiver. The Jaguars, would they overpay? How many receivers are the Jaguars?
I get that. I think Buffalo's making a good move. I think Buffalo realizes what we had put together wasn't good enough to beat the Chiefs. We have to reload, and the way we do that is to go through it. And maybe they didn't have Xavier Worthy as high on their board. Maybe they don't think the same thing. Maybe their scouting was, sure, take him. We don't have him as high. We like A.D. Mitchell. Y'all are crazy. We'll go get A.D. Mitchell in the second round. We think he's a better Texas wide receiver, and we'll get him later than y'all. That could be what the situation is there. Going down the board, your next Longhorn that's probably going to be drafted, Jonathan Brooks. This feels like it's Dallas, right? This is Dallas all over it?
I saw a clip on Twitter right before I came in here, and it was of the Jones family at the press conference. They were asked about Jonathan Brooks, and the poker face that Jerry Jones had was probably one of the worst I've ever seen. It's very clear that that's probably the direction they're going to try to go here in the second round. I mean, do you think he could fall to the third round?
No.
You don't?
No, I don't, because I think he is the best running back on the board, and I don't think all running backs fall to the third
round. So you think what? So that Cowboys pick is 57?
56, I believe.
56?
I believe he goes 56.
First running back off the board?
Yes. And I mean, someone could go before him. The problem with is, does somebody trade up before him? I don't think anybody else knows what that injury history is the most. It feels like he's going to the Cowboys. It just feels like, and with no other running backs really in the way, I think other teams can wait and not trade up for it. It feels like he's going to be there. If he doesn't, I don't see him falling below them. So he's going to be 56 or above, you have to believe.
If he does go before the Cowboys are up, do you think they still go running back with that second pick?
Oh, I don't think they do. I think they go O-line in the second pick, and they'll take a running back in the third or fourth.
So double O-line, what, center, something like that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they need a center. I think they would go O-line again just because they need that position really bad. And I know they need a running back really bad.
I mean, as
too.
A Cowboys fan, I would
I don't. I think they should go running back, but I think that they would go. I think they go O line again. Just based on, and they draft O line really well, so that I think they know we can draft an O lineman, and we'll be looking.
They draft
good.
Tyler's on the.
They draft. Well, they drafted Smith's, and then they drafted Tyler's. He does not get a break. Someone else always has Tyler Smith's name. Then we can go down, and then the question will be, if we go there, we've also seen Tavondre Sweat's stock drop. And people are questioning Tavondre Sweat more and more that he may drop. Christian Jones, we've seen his stock skyrocket. Does Christian Jones, when all these tackles are off the board and people still want offensive linemen, does Christian Jones go before Jonathan Brooks? Or does Christian Jones go before Tavondre Sweat? That's where it's looking more and more like
that. So you think Christian Jones could go in the second round?
I don't think he will, but we've seen mocks where he started to go up in the second round. I think he could go in the third round. Which would be ahead of Tavondre Sweat still. And I know people think Tavondre Sweat could jump up. I still think he's going to be a great player. I don't necessarily have the character issue problems that other people do. I get why you would have those if you're an NFL team.
He's a class clown.
Yeah. But I personally, I'm not completely buying in that he's necessarily gone back into his parting ways and won't be there. And maybe it's the weight as well. I know that there are certain teams that get overly worried about the weight. And I was having this conversation. People would not get why people are so worried about the weight, because they're talking about, they're thinking about it of, well, no, he can keep it. They go, well, if he's 377 and then his body at 26, he starts to.
I'm experiencing that right now.
Yes. 25, 26, you just start to put on more weight. And if he's not really conscious about it, he could go down and it could get really, really bad, and he could be 390, 400, and then you can't stay on the field and you can't do anything. And so you're basically just throwing that pick away. So I think that he's never
really had issues with his motor, though.
No, I don't think so. But when you get to be 400 pounds, you do, and he's not that far away from that. And that's the issue, is if you have a 400 pounder on the line, what can he do? And maybe he's the special freak that can do that, but that's the question you asked for Tavondre Sweat. Jalen Ford, I've seen him mocked to the Texans in some 7-round mock drafts. I would love to see that as well. Jordan Whittington, not sure he's going to be picked, but it'd be a fun one.
Jordan Whittington feels like he could be one of those Patriots day three guys.
He could be, and I think he could go six, or just a great culture guy. Keelan Robinson, also one that we've seen pop into some boards with the new...
That one's the one I don't understand.
Well, but that one, I think with the new kickoff rules, is someone that you have to watch out for as well if teams start to try and pick, which I think another deal with that Xavier Legette, and I think some of these other guys, it's about the kick return rules now, that guys are thinking more about that kickoff, that they're trying to figure out a way to make that work for them. And, you know, you get a guy who has returned kicks at a high level and return punts at a high level, you may want to bring them in and see what they can do and use them in different ways.
With Legette, he only had one good season. That was my, if we're talking the biggest surprises from last
year. No, I get that. I would not have, I had him much lower than A.D. Mitchell.
He was a boss last year for South Carolina. With Spencer Rattler, you know, good coach there, but it's, I'm not taking a guy that had one great year. If I was them, I would take A.D. Mitchell, who's won a national championship, played in college football playoff for two teams.
Yeah, who's been consistently good throughout his entire career.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Consistently lazy as well, though.
That's true. All right, we got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We will get into Off the Record when we come back here on the Rodcast. Rob Baber stepping out early. I'm Patrick Davis. Ty Henderson joining me here on The Horn.
D.D. Mega doo-doo, I'm sorry, Mangoodoo.
Once it's turned on, the sign will spell out Deli Cat Essen.
Well, I don't get a break my head comb.
Well, congratulations. Continue good sex in the Big East. Thank you, Jimmy.
And boom goes the dynamite.
It's time for another edition of Off the Record.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! F***ing thing sucks!
All right, we're up against it, so we'll be quick here on Off the Record. I did see this story that came out that there is somebody looking for a way to make a quick grand.
Are we all?
And this is, so if you fall into this category, if you fall into the ability to get this money, it's all you got to do is watch nine movies. And just watch nine movies in a row. Finance Buzz. That they are trying to celebrate Star Wars Day, which is coming up next week. May the 4th is Star Wars Day. So they want to find somebody who has never watched any Star Wars movies and have them watch all of them and review them from scratch, never watched a single one, all nine movies.
My girlfriend never has.
Never has. She can wait. She can do this. She can. Now, how much could you lie well enough to say that you never have and just be like, Luke, who? I'm sorry. I don't know what you're talking. There's robots?
I don't think I've ever met a male my age that hasn't seen at least one, you know? I mean, those are my favorite movies growing up. I saw...
They were my favorite. I've definitely seen them. I haven't seen all nine. I had
a stepdad that collected the action figures, but would keep them in the cases still.
In the cases?
So yeah. As a little kid, all I wanted to do was rip them out and play with them. And he was like, no. No, like he was obsessive about it. Still is. You know, it's pretty funny. But I still remember seeing episode one, which is probably the worst. The one with young Anakin.
Yeah, the one with Jar Jar Binks.
Very racist Jar Jar Binks, yes. But I mean, great series. I haven't gotten as much into the newest trilogy. Did you? I didn't even watch.
I don't think I watched any of them.
I definitely saw at least one of them.
I don't think I watched any of them.
But they just didn't capture my attention like the old
ones. No, I don't think I've watched five of the movies, I think. I think five of nine I think I've watched.
Really? You haven't seen the original six?
No, I saw the original three.
Oh, the original three.
So I'm old enough that there's the original three.
I still consider that.
I was an adult when the second one came out, so I did not watch it.
Okay,
but and then the third one I went with my friend's kid.
Did George Lucas didn't, he had like a hand on the last three, but he didn't, it was someone else, right?
I think so. I think they had sold enough of it that it wasn't completely him. But no, I just not watched. Let me know on the text line. I want to know this on the text line. We'll throw this in with our big fat poll. If any of you have not seen any of the nine Star Wars movies, and how you have not done that. But if you have, if there's a film franchise that you think everyone has seen at least one piece of, like Ghostbusters, I don't know if there's enough people who haven't seen Ghostbusters, but if
how many another, Ghostbusters are there?
Well, now there's like five.
Well, there's the ladies one.
Six? I was saying like...
I thought there was like one original.
I think canonically there's only like five though, right? I don't know if ladies Ghostbusters fits in.
God, that's part of the franchise.
I don't know, but it's part of the franchise, but I don't know if it's like canonically... In
yeah,
the
I see what you're saying.
The Dan Aykroyd, Bill
that's a
Murray,
big word.
Canonically,
what does that mean?
It means it's part of the canon.
What?
It means it's part of it all. There's this story like in Star Wars. There's canon for Star Wars, and then there's like books and stuff. And some of the books are canon, and then some like in comic books, it's the thing that like is Spider-Man dead or alive, and which ones are part of it, and which ones are canon. That kind of thing. Because then someone will just write a Spider-Man book, and they'll be like, well, that's not. That doesn't fit in. It's a different story completely.
Different universe.
Same, yeah, that kind of stuff. Let us know on the text line, 512-447-3776. Since Rod's out, you know what? I'll tell you, we'll go back. I'll do more of what I did in the sports complex. I'll try and respond to more of your texts here in the 9 o'clock hour. Ty and myself will be going into it. We'll talk more about the Michael Penix draft. Six quarterbacks going in the first round. In the first 12 picks, we will talk about that. We'll get a little more draft coverage. Maybe we'll slip in. Maybe so we'll slip in a little NBA talk as well. We haven't gotten any NBA talk. It is a playoffs. We may slip that in as well. We come back here on the horn, on the broadcast, with myself, Patrick Davis. Rob Babers stepped out a little early, so Mr. Ty Henderson is stepping in for him here on the horn, 101.9 AM 1260, the Horn app, and hornfm.com.